Okay, so we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 5, text 41. Nanu Bhuya Na Janati Puman Rishiha Tikshnatam Nirvidyate Swayam Tasman Na Tata Vina Dihi Parahi Nanu Bhuya Na Janati Man Vishaya Tikshnatam Nirvidyate Swayam Tasman Natthaphinadiparahai. Na, not. Anubhuya, experiencing. Na, not. Janati, knows. Puman, a person. Vishya tikshnatam, the sharpness of material enjoyment. Nirvidyate becomes aloof. Aloof means detached, for those of you who don't know. Swayam, himself. Tasmat, from that. Natata, not like that. Vinadihi, whose intelligence is changed. Parahai, by others. So in translation, material enjoyment is indeed the cause of all unhappiness, but one cannot give it up unless one has personally experienced how much suffering it is. Therefore, one should be allowed to remain in so-called material enjoyment while simultaneously advancing in knowledge to experience the misery of this false material happiness. Then, without help from others, one will find material enjoyment detestable. Those whose minds are changed by others do not become as renounced as those who have personal experience. Interesting. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. It is said that unless a woman becomes pregnant, she cannot understand the trouble of giving birth to a child. Manjaki abhujive prasavavadana. The word mundya means a sterile woman. Such a woman cannot give birth to a child. How then can she perceive the pain of delivery? According to the philosophy of Prajapati Doksha, a woman should first become pregnant and then experience the pain of childbirth. Then if she is intelligent, she will not want to be pregnant again. Actually, however, this is not a fact. Sex enjoyment is so strong that a woman becomes pregnant and suffers at the time of childbirth, but she becomes pregnant again despite her experience. According to Daksha's philosophy, one should become implicated in material enjoyment so that after experiencing the distress of such enjoyment, one will automatically renounce. Material nature, however, is so strong that although a man suffers at every step, he will not cease his attempts to enjoy. Tripyanti neha kripana bahu dukha bhajaha. Under the circumstances, unless one gets the association of a devotee like Narada Muni or his servant in the disciplic succession, one's dormant spirit of renunciation cannot be awakened. It is not a fact that because material enjoyment involves so many painful conditions, one will automatically become detached. One needs the blessings of a devotee like Narada Muni. Then one can renounce his attachment for the material world. The young boys and girls of the Krishna consciousness movement have given up the spirit of material enjoyment, not because of practice, but by the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants. Nice verse. Nana Bhuyana Janati Puman Vishaya Dakshinatam Nirvidyate Swayam Tasman Natatabina Deeparahai. So this particular purport and translation reminds me of a nice story about Sripad Shankaracharya. Sripad Shankaracharya, who is an incarnation of Lord Shiva, he was one time having a discussion with a lady who was a scholar, and they were discussing, I guess, romantic affairs or something like that. And because he, in that particular appearance, had no experience of romantic affairs, you know, I guess they were discussing the Kama Sutra or whatever they were discussing, I don't know, something to do with love. Anyway, so because he had no experience of these things, he was not able to adequately deal with the points that she was making. And so he thought, give me a few minutes, he thought. And using his mystic powers, he entered the body of a king who had just died. And that king who had just died, or the body of the king who had just died, came back to life with Shankaracharya in his body. And for a little while, Shankaracharya experienced what it was like to be a king. And then, after he'd experienced, I guess, virtual reality, what it was like to be a king, he came back, had a good argument with the lady. Lady defeated her, and I guess her husband took sannyas, and they lived happily ever after. Whatever. So, one point is that if one has not experienced this material world, then one may not know all the details, which is true. One can still be renounced from the material world because renunciation can occur, as Prabhupada mentions here, by the mercy of a pure devotee, because what does a pure devotee do? He puts bhakti in the heart. Pramanda brahmate konna bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasadi bhai bhakti lata peesh. We are wandering around all these different universes or bodies, and finally we come in contact with a pure devotee. He puts the creeper seed of devotion in our hearts, and by that creeper seed of devotion we become so much in love with Krishna that automatically renunciation arises. Just like you see when people are in love, isn't it? They renounce from everything else. I'm not saying that they're renounced from the material world. They're renounced from everything else, even from common sense. When they're in love. So I'm not saying devotees should be renounced from common sense. That's pretty stupid. Prabhupada said it's a brain-giving movement. So, in other words, it's not necessary to experience everything. But sometimes one needs to have somewhat of a glimpse of experience. And I'll tell another story that's a famous story of Narada Muni and another one of his disciples. And this particular story is the story of Magrari, the hunter. So Magrari, the hunter, was quite a bad hunter. I mean, he was half-killing animals instead of fully killing them. And he would just take his jollies from watching them squirm. You know, just like if there was a trap or something like that, you know, like the spring traps. I don't know if any of you have seen that, but that's how they used to catch bears and things like that. So it's a trap. It's like a jaws. And if someone steps in the trap, it goes like a Venus flytrap. Anyone seen a Venus flytrap here? No. That's a plant that eats animals. Yuck. A vulture plant. He used to have all these devices out there somehow or other, and they were capturing the animals. The animals were caught by their legs and they were squirming, and he used to take joy in that. And so what happened is that Narada Muni saw these animals and he freed them, and the hunter got really upset with him. Why have you done such a thing? And Narada Muni says, you know, I understand, you know, you're killing animals, you're eating meat and everything like that, but why don't you just fully kill them? And the hunter said, that's the way my papa taught me. It's been our family disciplic succession for many generations. We've been half-killing, and that's how we enjoy life. You know, people in the mode of ignorance can enjoy all sorts of stupid things. Ooh. Even sometimes there's music in the mode of ignorance. There was one musician who would bite off the head of a chicken during... You heard about this before? I don't want to know his name. Don't mention it. It's not polite. So he'd bite off the head of a chicken during a musical concert and spit it out. Other musicians... of course, Dharma knows all these musicians. Other musicians would take the guitar and smash the guitar after. Yeah. You know, a guitar was worth probably 10,000 euros or something like that. These are... You're right.
I
have
so much. I can care.
You loved him.
Yes, I loved him.
See, Krishna saved you. Because you would have been like that too, you know, taking your synthesizer and smashing it out at every concert. So, anyway, so Narada Muni asked him that, and he explained this is the disciplic succession, and then Narada Muni sort of gave him a preview, rather than just preaching to him and telling him, this is nonsense, you know, karma, blah, 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 blah. He didn't do that. Because, you know, certain people you just can't preach. You have to do the argumentum ad baculum. Argumentum ad baculum means sometimes like a punishment or some experience. So they go, oh, no. So what happens is Narada Muni, to put it in a modern context, he puts some virtual reality glasses on the guy. Not really. But he gave the person a vision, a spurti, of what would happen in the future. And the animals were attacking him to eat him. You know, every animal that he had killed. And he thought, oh my God. So he wasn't ready for philosophy, obviously. But practical philosophy, you know, sometimes people need a PowerPoint or something, or or practical experience or something to convince them, you know. But you can't convince people simply by philosophy. Most people know. They need some experience to be convinced, right? So he said, oh my God, and he said, what should I do now? And Narada Muni said, give up your hunting. And he said, you know, how am I going to eat? And Narada Muni said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. Just sit down on the banks of the river with your wife in front of a tulsi plant and chant the holy name. And so he did that, and then you know, people brought so much foodstuffs for him that, because they recognized he's a great saint, you know. And later on, when Narada Muni went to visit him, the story goes that he ran to see his Guru Maharaj, and he was like hopping from one place to another. It wasn't a kirtan. He was just hopping, you know, doing the hop, hop, hop. So Narada Muni said, why are you hopping? He said, there's ants here. I don't want to step on an ant. So by chanting the holy names, not only did he become detached, and of course, he had to have his experience too, which is interesting. It wasn't just, you know, take up devotional service, karma's coming, the Yamaraj is coming to take you away, away, the Yamaraj is coming to take you away, like the song. There's a song like that. You've heard of that song? No, there's a song that says, not Yamaraj, it says, they're coming to take me away, away, they're coming to take me. No one's heard that song? Anyway, it's about Yamaraj. Just like we have one Sankirtan devotee, very nice lady, and she used to distribute books in the airport, and sometimes she would distribute books to people who worked in the place where you take dead bodies. You know, prepare the dead bodies. You know, sometimes someone dies and you have to just like prepare the body so it have a smile on it. And then you go into the funeral home and you just look, wow, he looks like he could just jump out of the coffin. Coffin is like the bed that the body's in anyway. So, yeah, I remember going to see my father's funeral. I said, Dad, are you there? You know, because they prepare the bodies like that. And so what happened is she asked the, they're called morticians. Like, mort means death. Muerte. You know, anyone knows Spanish? You know, muerte means death. Mort, that's from Latin, of course. Morticians. Would you have a word in Slovenian for those people? What do you call them? No? You don't have? Oh, okay. So now you learn a new word. So anyway, so she asked them, what do people look like when they're dying, you know, after they've died? What is the expression on their face? And they said, very peaceful. And she said, well, tell me, what did they look like 30 years, 20 years ago, before they started giving people, like, anesthesia before they died? You understand, nowadays, of course, before you die, they fill you up with morphine. And she said, do they look like that? And then the mortician started to shake. And they said, yes, you're right. Because of Yamaraj. Anyways, you get a good scare from Yamaraj. So, anyway, so here we're talking about renunciation. And, you know, yesterday I actually got real heavy about renunciation. I have to apologize. So, I just kept saying, it's just the modes of nature. And, yeah. And then some of the ladies came up and said, but I really feel that I need to get married in the future. And I just said, it's just the modes of nature. It's just the modes of nature. And I traumatized a lot of devotees yesterday because that was my mantra rather than the Hare Krishna mantra. I said that more often than Hare Krishna. Anyway, because I was so like in love with that statement of Krishna with the 14th chapter of the Gita. You know, I read the Gita, I become a Gita fanatic. And I just start preaching that chapter. Just the modes of nature. Just the modes of nature. I'm hungry. It's just the modes of nature. I'm tired. It's just the modes of nature. I'm angry. It's just the modes of nature, you know. That was my answer to every problem yesterday that I came across. So today I'm feeling a little more compassionate. So as far as renunciation is concerned, first of all, there's different varnas. You know, some people are naturally in the mode of goodness, some people are naturally in the mode of passion, some people are naturally in the mode of ignorance, and some are mixed, like vices. In addition to that, there's different stages of consciousness. I don't know if any of you have heard about this before, but, you know, there's the pranamoya, the anamoya platform, right? And then you have the manamoya, the gyanamoya, the vijnanamoya, and anandamoya. I mean, there's different lists given. Sometimes they eliminate the vijnanamoya or the manamoya in different lists I've read. But anyway, I'm giving you the full list. So there's different stages of consciousness that people are at. And also, people have different basic needs. I mean, I'll give you an example. Just like, for example, if you're very tired, you haven't slept because there was a big festival last night, and you got to sleep after cleaning up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and the temple president made you wake up at 3 o'clock. And you're tired, and probably grouchy, too. You know what grouchy means? Grouchy means that every time someone says something to you, you're ready to bite their head off. That's the definition of grouchy. You say, can you pass the salt? Yeah! Prabhu. You know, so... Oh my God, you know. You know, you ever run into people like that? I have. Every day. So, because, I mean, basically, because they have a need for sleep. And you really, you know, you can go around condemning them. It's just the mode of ignorance, Prabhu. And, you know, was that Upadesha Morganam Prakopaya Nishanta? It just makes them angry. So it doesn't really work. Or when someone's hungry, it doesn't really work. So you got all these other factors in play that indicate that we should be compassionate, because people are on different levels of consciousness. You know, and not everybody's on the Anandamaya platform or Vijnanamaya platform, or not everybody is philosophical. You know, everybody's different. And so Krishna consciousness has to be given to people, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, with awareness of people's different needs. You know, he talks about different needs, and of course, I give seminars on that, you know, different needs, that people have needs. Jai, shishi, pancha tattva shishi gornitai, ki jai. I mean, people have different physical needs, mental needs, psychological needs, emotional needs, and you can't be Krishna conscious if you're, I mean, you can't chant and hear if you're hungry. I don't care who you are, unless you're a pure devotee. I mean, if you're the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, one pat of butter every 2 days, great. But if you ask me to do it, first of all, I'm a vegan, so a pat of butter wouldn't even work. You have to eat a pat of broccoli or something like that every 2 days. So if you ask me to do it, you know, it's not going to work. I'm just going to be disturbed. I'm just practically. I mean, even, of course, Prabhupada's on the greatest, highest platform. But Prabhupada set an example for us. You know, one time they were trying to feed Prabhupada very simple food for his health, you know, like boiled food. And, you know, and a devotees were doing that out of concern for Prabhupada's health. And Prabhupada commented, "Let the starvation committee go to hell." I mean, it's not that he was cursing people, you know, "You should go to hell because you're feeding me healthy food." Sometimes you talk, healthy food means for people sometimes tasteless, you know, and stuff like that. But it's not necessarily true like that. Anyway, so we have to recognize when dealing with people their basic needs. I mean, this is one thing is about as far as how we apply it to ourselves. We have to be aware of our basic needs, and especially being compassionate to other people. You can't impose, let's say if you're on a more renounced platform, you're on the Anandamaya platform, you can't impose on people and force people up to that platform, or else they'll just bloop. They'll just explode at a certain point and just like go down to whatever needs they have. Ultimately, they'll seek out their needs. So it's important for us to be very compassionate. And of course, these particular individuals, the Savalasvas, Haryasvas, they actually were on a higher platform of knowledge, realization, and basically had transcended the Anamoya, the Manamoya, the Pranamoya. I'll explain what those platforms are. Actually, I should explain what those platforms are before I start just talking, throwing out names at you. So Pranamoya basically means to be not a yogi and just concerned with prana. It means just the bodily symptoms, you know, the feelings in the body, the touch, you know. Just like I told a devotee the other day, I'm going to buy them a teddy bear. You know, one of these stuffed animals so they can touch it and feel good. So anyway, but it's interesting that even we in Krishna consciousness, sometimes on that platform at different times of the day, like I described, you know, when we're really tired or something like that, or when we first wake up in the morning, we may be on that platform. So pranamaya means like the bodily symptoms, and then anamaya means the eating process. You know, you don't just eat to live, you live to eat. And devotional service is just meant to fill up the time between different prasadam takings. Isn't it? Actually, when I first joined the movement, it was almost like that with everybody. We'd take prasadam three times a day, and it was just like, when is the next prasadam? I'm going on Sankirtan, but, you know, counting out the minutes till prasadam time. So that's the Anamoya platform. And then Manamoya, mental platform. Vijnana, you like to achieve, get knowledge. Vijnana, realization, you practice, you know, some spiritual stuff. And then Anandamoya means basically you're just experiencing ecstasy. And then you're aloof from everything else. So even like with dealing with children, that too often the parents try, if they're Krishna conscious or thinking they're Krishna conscious, they too often don't understand the child is just on the Anamoya platform or the Manamoya platform. Just like, you know, yesterday there was a child in the class, a little baby, and he was going, ah! And I was thinking, why is he in such Maya? You know, but he may be a great pure devotee, but somehow or other, you know, in the body and the situation he's in right now, he's on the, you know, either Anamoya or Pranamoya platform. And then they brought him to my room, and he was just trying to reach out to everything he could see in my room, like my computer, the offering to the deities. You know, and I was thinking, oh my God, I'm glad I'm a sannyasi. Anyway, so... But at the same time, you know, being compassionate, that's the platform he's at. You don't chastise a child for being on that platform. You don't. And so sometimes we chastise devotees and give them guilt trips for being on a platform where they're not ready to transcend that particular platform. We have to deal with them on that platform. Or you deal with a child on that platform. You give them some prasadam, you speak nicely, you're tolerant and everything like that. So, yeah, I just want to apologize for being too heavy in class about yesterday about, you know, it's just the modes. Anyway, and all the poor devotees who left my room crying yesterday after I told them it was just the modes. So, anyway, so compassion must be there. And with that compassion... and people's needs being satisfied, they can gradually come up through the modes, through the different stages of consciousness, through their needs, and then ultimately achieve the state of Anandamoya Vyasat. So this is the point I wanted to make. So any questions or comments about this? Yes?
What if devotee... thinks that he is on a higher platform than he actually is, and he's trying to project this on the outside. So how can they know how to treat that person?
Well, that's an interesting question. If a devotee thinks he's in a higher, and he's projecting it, you know, this is false pride, of course, or he wants to be accepted or something like that. Devotee needs to have some mentor. That's why we have a nice mentor program, you know, whether your mentor is directly the spiritual master. You know, what I'm thinking is in the future, we have to have the spiritual masters who are localized. I've talked about that before. So rather than someone just traveling around, the sannyasis can travel around the world, you know, inspiring people and not taking any responsibility. So that's a joke. So... but, you know, and then the gurus could be the local people who are training people up in Krishna consciousness, you know, on a day-to-day basis, taking responsibility. I think that that's a better paradigm than the one we have right now. Much better paradigm. So, you know, if you have a local mentor who you have faith in, then the mentor will actually say that, you know, you're just not on that platform yet, right now. And in the Jiva Dharma, you actually see this in the interactions between Brajanath and Vijay, you know, his uncle, and their spiritual master, how he's gauging their advancement. Of course, they're advancing pretty quickly if you read the Jiva Dharma. you know, one day he's teaching them the Dashamula. You know what the Dashamula is. And the next day they're talking about their Siddhadeya. It's, you know, it's really accelerated advancement. And I think in many cases, that sort of advancement takes place over many lifetimes. You understand what I mean? I mean, it's bohunam janmanamante gyanavamam prapajyate. So, I think we have to be ready also to be patient with people over many lifetimes. We have to be ready to be patient with ourselves over many lifetimes. And, you know, if we have some mentorship, didati pratiganati guyamakyati prichati, that's what it means. Then we can understand our platform of devotional service and not take to renunciation or too much renunciation prematurely and be established in the proper varna, the proper ashram, to understand our needs. Just like, you know, I'm very happy being a sannyasi, but it was just by accident I took sannyasi. Not by accident, because I wanted Mahaprasadam. But... I was only 28 years old when I took sannyas. That's young. You know, as a kid, you know. I think most of you are over 28 here. And at 28, you don't know what you... I mean, it would have been nice to have mentors, you know, who, you know, help facilitate that understanding. And I'm happy I did it. But many people did it, and they later on didn't make it for a variety of reasons. You know, it was my nature... But I'm also aware of other needs I have. I mean, for example, like I love to study things. I mean, not only Krishna consciousness, but I love to just like study history, philosophy, and science, right, Ananta? We have a discussion. I said this the other day, a discussion about science with Ananta, and I was just feeling such ecstasy. I said, oh my God. You know, all the astasattvika bhavas were manifest in my body, as well as the vyabhachari bhavas. When we started talking about microbiology and the DNA, I was just like, oh. So then I recognize I have some need to use my mind. I guess that's called the Jnanamoya, I hope. Not Manamoya. Anyways, so I had some basic need, and, you know, it made me happy. And I was using it in Krishna's service. I wasn't becoming a follower of Richard Dawkins, you know, the biggest nasty atheist in the world. Anyway, so we have to figure out, you know, how to engage our mind, too, in something that really excites us. And, that's how we remain stable. I mean, if you just told me every day just to do some simple service, I mean, I like doing simple service. I love cleaning the pots in Krishna's kitchen. I mean, I love it. But if you asked me to do it all day long, it wouldn't engage my mind. So, I mean, I don't mind, you know, doing it for an hour a day. But other people, you know, that's their nature. And they do it, and they're in ecstasy all day long. And me, you know, I can read about microbiology all day long, and I'm in complete ecstasy and can't sleep at night because I'm shivering in ecstasy. So, and other people like management. You know, we have people in GBC who just like, you know, they get their teeth into some management. It's just like, oh, so ecstatic, and I'm sitting there, oh my God, at the GBC meeting, just like, oh my God, it wasn't for Prabhupada, I wouldn't be doing this. So, I mean, there's different natures, and I think we have to recognize that, different needs, material needs and spiritual needs, that we have to recognize and situate people properly, and there has to be mentorship to help the devotees. You know, that's really important. You know, someone who really cares for us. You know, someone who's ministers us, isn't it? You know, that's what a minister is. Minister. Actually, the word minister means you minister people, and you care for them. And also, that's good. That's traditionally, that was the sannyasi's role too. You know, they would come and give advice, And because the sannyasis traditionally didn't have any managerial responsibility, it was a different scenario. So, any other questions or comments? Yes.
There's a question again on Facebook Live.
Facebook Live.
How to keep Krishna always in center if you are a grihastha?
Just keep your wife in the center. Then your life will be peaceful and you can chant nicely. I mean, it sounds funny, but it's more true than false. Because if your wife is peaceful, then you will be peaceful. And your wife... I mean, it's true. Isn't it true, ladies? Because if your wife isn't that peaceful, she'll make your life like hell. And then you won't be able to keep Krishna the center. That's one... I mean, it's a joke, but it's true. Okay. And then, so going further into it, just see that you're meant to serve your wife and children, facilitate them become Krishna conscious. I don't want to say make them, but facilitate their Krishna consciousness. See them as part and parcel of Krishna. See yourself as a servant of them. And the wife should see herself as a servant to the rest of the family. Everybody should see themselves as a servant. And then once you see things in a Krishna conscious perspective, it doesn't matter where you are. You'll see Krishna everywhere and in everything. We were talking to some devotees last night, younger devotees, and they were talking about when they use the word non-devotees, and of course I don't like that word. I said, we should see everyone as a devotee, and we should think of ourselves as one manina manadena. Isn't that? Lord Chaitanya says, Trinadapi sunichena. One should be devoid of false prestige, but how? What is the symptom? What is the methodology? Manadena, offering all respects to others, not just devotees. So if we see ourselves as servants of others in becoming Krishna, helping them become Krishna conscious, then that's the proper attitude in House of Life. And then House of Life, for those who have that particular psychophysical nature, can be very helpful for someone to become Krishna conscious. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said the preferable type of sannyas in Kali Yuga is Kshetra sannyas, where one remains with the wife and they serve Krishna. So that's the preferable type of renunciation. Because, you know, someone actually takes the regular order of sannyas, there's so many tests. I mean, there's false prestige. Everyone calls you Maharaj, great king. You know, can you imagine that? If you go around, everybody calls you Maharaj, great king, and they're ready to fan you. It's like some Hindi movie where you see this big demon sitting on the throne and all the girls around him with the peacock fans are... I mean, I was just looking at someone mentioned yesterday some bogus person who's, I'm not going to mention his name, who's very popular here in Europe. He has thousands of followers. So I just wanted to see, you know, what he does so I can become like him. I just wanted to see what he does, you know, because he has all these thousands of followers. He's based in Germany. He's making a temple in Maribor. You may not know about this. I just wanted to see. I was just like... And yeah, and then of course I read about his legal implications in the United States, why he can't go back because, you know, of sexual abuse charges. Anyway, so that's another issue. But he, you know, obviously. But he's just like some movie star, you know. You know, people worship movie stars. I was just with several movie stars in India. I don't know if anyone here was with me when I was with this very famous movie star. And actually, it was funny. He was staying right next to me in Govardhan. And I wanted to see him to give him Prabhupada's book, you know, Bhagavad Gita, book distribution. So his guards were all around. No, you can't go to see him. I'm an American. No, you can't. So I thought, how can I see him? All right. We had one of the girls with us, you know, young girl, attractive girl. So I said, I'll send her over. This is like the story of Rishi Sringa, you know. You know, from the Ramayana. So I send her over. She goes over. I'd like to see, his name is Akshay Kumar. You can look him up later on. He's very famous. So she said, I'd like to see him. The guards just let down their guard. She walks in. She said, my guru would like to see you. And so he's like, he follows her, he walks over to my house, whereas previously I could never see him. And I say, here's the Bhagavad Gita. And then he wakes up. So then, oh, Bhagavad Gita! And it was so successful that day on his Facebook page, which is looked at by millions and millions of people daily, he said, today I was blessed. I got this book, and he put a picture of the Bhagavad Gita on his Facebook page. Millions of people saw the picture. Today was I was blessed. So anyway, so it's a funny story. So I was looking at the spiritualist. It would remind me of Akshay Kumar. You know, he's just like, you know, vanity was just like pouring out of his pores. You know what vanity is? Vanity. You know, pride. Anyway, someone's vain. You know, I can act like that too. You know. Yes, that's vanity. All you poor souls, I bless you. Of course, I'm not very good at it. So I'd have to dress differently, get myself some silk dhotis, maybe have some earrings and some rings here. Then maybe I could do it. So, but people are so foolish. You know, you like Prabhupada said, you know, this world is the cheaters and cheated. And if someone is supposed to, wants to be cheated, Krishna will send a cheater. And this is not just a criticism of him, it's just in general. Oh, you're showing him pictures of him.
No.
Right in the middle of class. I mean. You know, so anyway, this strategy is they're appealing to people's, you know, basic animal needs. And it works for them. So, anyway, any other questions?
One small question.
One small question, yeah.
Maharaj, thank you for your lecture, please, first. And I would like to ask about these consciousness, levels of consciousness.
Yes.
I remember a little bit of one verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that for the ordinary man, a devotee looks like his acting is mundane.
Yeah.
But in fact, it's spiritual acting. So maybe we can see someone that he's acting mundane, but in effect he is on a platform of connection with Krishna. How can we relate to that? Or how
well, you can relate by what they say, not by what they look like. Really, that's a good question. And some people you may see their actions, like the story of Puttanarik Vijayaniti. He was a great pure devotee of the Lord, and he was acting, you know, just very, like I described, like a dapper gentleman, use an English term. And it was described he was a great devotee. But so Prabhupada said that you can tell the difference between a fool and a devotee by what they say. And then Prabhupada gave the example of the jackal. You may not have heard this story. Once upon a time there was a jackal. Jackal is a wild dog. And the jackal was somehow, there's some paint, purple paint or something spilled on the jackal, and he looked really cool, effulgent, you know, effulgent jackal. I guess it was like glitter paint or something. And so, because he looked really good, and he was just a dog, but he looked good. And they dressed him up, And they put him on the king's throne in the forest. This is a Hitopadesh story. It's not a true story, obviously. You know. Jackals don't talk, and lions don't talk. You know, this is, it's not that I'm saying, oh yeah, there's a talking jackal. So anyway, so they put him on the throne, and normally the king of the forest is the lion, right? Lion King? Anyone seen that movie? Anyway, so Walt Disney movie. So normally he's the lion. So put him on the throne. Everyone was offering obeisance. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to you, Jackal Prabhu. So then what happened is that it became dusk. That means the sun went down. And the other jackals at the time of the sun going down, what do? They go, ah. I don't know. I can't imitate a jackal sound. Can anyone do it? No. No. Maybe someone could do it. But in Mayapur, you hear them all the time at night. Jackals, wild dogs. And then that jackal started howling. So as soon as he started howling like a jackal, they understood, he is a jackal. And then the lion, who's the natural king, started to recite the Prashadam prayer. You know, Sarira Vijaja Jatantariya Tehikala. And the jackal became Jackal Prasad. So the moral of the story is you can tell a fool from a real person by what they say. And how they engage people, how they deal with people. I mean, there's other practical things too, not so much how they look. But you know, it shouldn't be like a movie. A movie star, you know, could say this person has so many followers, therefore must be bona fide. No. Movie stars have so many followers. Like I said, I've been with these movie stars. They're surrounded by paparazzi. I was with another one, Vivek Oberoi. And all these girls are surrounding him, hundreds, thousands of girls. And they're all going, ooh. And he's twirling his little mustache and everyone, like that. And then during the 1960s, we had the cockroaches. No, I know they're the Beatles. But anyway, we had the Beatles, and the auditorium, they had this stadium. You know what a stadium is? A stadium is where, like a football stadium or something, 30,000 people came to see them. Wow. You know, and I like them. You know, I like at least George. So, and I listened to their songs too. I used to. And so 30,000, they were screaming and yelling, yes, George, Ringo, you know, whatever, John, you know, so just numbers don't indicate anything to me. You know, one has to have some intelligence and see how people are being attracted, and see for what reason, like that. You know, and just because people are experiencing some material emotions doesn't mean it's spiritual. It means it's, and they may need it. People may need to have some material emotions. I'm not denying people their right. Like I said, I was going to be nicer this morning. So, all right, we have to end because we're leaving this morning. You're all going to be lucky to be not here. You're not, it's just the modes anymore. Anyways, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. So it was a nice trip here. I really enjoy being here. The devotees are very friendly, jolly, intelligent. Kirtans are nice, and you're all dedicated to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. So it's nice. This is Panchatattva Temple. I was thinking this morning, I'll just tell you one realization I had. I was, you know, during the kirtan, I was, you know, close to the edge of the altar there, and actually I could feel the spiritual energy emanating from Panchatattva. It was just like a tsunami. You know what a tsunami is? No. A tsunami is when you have an earthquake and the ocean produces these gigantic waves that pull the people in and drown them. So I was just feeling, I mean, it wasn't like intellectual or anything, it was just like a feeling. I could actually feel that spiritual, like, energy, like, emanating from the Panchatattva, and it was just like, right at the edge of the altar, you know, where the gate is and everything like that, it was just like, oh my God, it's too much. Too much. Maybe they'll make me a devotee. Oh no. No, anything but that. So anyway, so you're very lucky that you are able to worship Panchatattva here. Is it very merciful? I mean, Yajyai Sankirtanaya Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedasa. So this is a manifestation of that verse in the Bhagavatam. That those who have sufficient brain substance in this age of Kali will worship the Lord with Sankirtan. So thank you very much on that happy note. All glories to Swami Gaurīya Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai.